stand in wonder once again. Your grace still amazes me. Your love is still a mystery each day. I fall on my knees, 'cause your grace still amazes me. Your grace still amazes me.
And I'll put it back. If at somewhere in your funeral service you can address my brother as a saint. The preacher asked him, is that money up front? He said, it is. I trust you. You're a man of God. Don't think you're lying. I'll give you $2,000 right now if you can call my brother a saint in his funeral service. He said, it's taken care of. The fella gave him $2,000 the day of the funeral rolled around. The preacher got up, looked at the congregation, and said, well, we all know Mr. So-and-so lying here. He's been quite a character in the community. He's robbed, ravaged. drank, sold alcohol, sold drugs. He's just been a rascal in this community all his life. But I guess compared to his brother sitting right there, you could call this one a saint. I'm glad he got his money up front, aren't you? You know, as I visit cemeteries, and I do, I meander around through the tombstones and the headstones and look and wonder about the days. You ever been to the cemetery and wondered about the days? I can go back here. I see some names back here. I've already made a little trip through the cemetery back here. At my age, you're looking for space. I recognize some of the names, some of the families that I have known in days gone by. Some of them I don't. But without exception, when you find a headstone, a marker, or just a flat stone, you will almost invariably find on every grave attached, it will say, Mr. or Mrs. So-and-so, born such and such day, dash, expired such and such day. Now that dash is a big thing. That represents. Now some of those dashes are shorter than others because we notice that some of them when they were born and when they deceased, they only lived 12, 15 years. Some of them only a few months. But some of them live well past 100. So that dash represents everything from sunrise to sunset. Everything from the day that we were, I'm old fashioned. I believe birth begins at conception.
Amen.
And so everything from conception to consummation, the day that you leave this world. I want to talk to you this morning about the foolishness of a wasted life. When that dash represents nothing but folly. And it happens. I always wonder. I heard the sad news last evening. Young lady had been reported missing down in Greenville, and two or three, 4 days, 5 days had passed. They were looking for her high and low. Wasn't her nature to be gone. And someone found a billfold lying right alongside the Interstate 75. Picked it up, went to the sheriff's department, turned it in, and the deputy seen that it was the young lady's wallet that they'd been looking for. Called the Greenville Sheriff's Department. The deputy went down, as I understand it, in Loudoun County, and they went back to where they found the wallet, and just a few feet further, down over the bank, they found the young lady's car. She was in it. Dead. Now my first thought came, I wonder where her destiny was. I wonder where she was destined for. I hope it was heaven, don't you?
Amen.
Amen.
It's a terrible thing to see a wasted life.
Amen. Right.
I preached a fellow's funeral not too many miles from here. And I've visited him, I couldn't tell you how many times. He had some problems with alcohol. I literally have hauled him from the community where he lived, the Woodridge Hospital, checked him in into their dry out program. Went over to the med center, made a few visits. And on my return to the community where I was a patient, he'd be sitting on the front porch, he beat me home. He'd never stay long enough to know whether he could get any help. He showed up at my door one day and had went to a tattoo artist. You can ask the folks at Dillo Taylor, they'll tell you, I'm telling you the truth. He had 666 tattooed on his forehead.
Oh, wow.
Mark of the beast. You know the first thing Harold came to me when I seen that? The very first thing that came to me, I started praying. Lord, let this man outlive me. Let this man outlive me. I don't want ever to be called upon to do this man's funeral.
Amen.
Wasn't to be. Between his birth date and his decease date was just a short dash. About 2 months after he had that 666 tattooed on his head, he was killed in an automobile wreck in Knoxville. And his alcohol level was 2 point something, more than double the legal limit. And the family called him. That's the only preacher he knew. They called me to stand. And I had to stand, and I told the family, the only way I will do the funeral is to be honest. A wasted life. And I spoke to the people there that day. Don't let your dash run out on a wasted life.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen. You know the drill. If you're able to stand, we're going to ask you to stand for the reading of God's Word, the 12th chapter of the Gospel according to Luke. And we're going to begin reading in verse 15. I think I'll just go ahead and get verse 13 then. And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And I stop there for just a moment. There's a very popular saying goes around, even among Baptist circles. He who dies with the most toys wins. Is that true?
No.
No.
Not true at all. Verse 16. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruit. And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and goods, and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou who? Thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Let's pray. Master, right now, in this moment, speak to my heart. Lord, I just pray that you will just help me to rightly divide this word. Give me discernment, unction, that Lord, your people can feast at your table this day in Christ's name. Amen. Well, success in the world's eyes, or in the world's point of view, is a world apart from God's point of view. It's revealed here in this parable. You see, even, and I think probably it's worse in America than any place on earth. You can go to the poorest nation on earth. I've literally seen this. Southeast Asia, Vietnam, and Philippines, and Japan, and around the world. I've seen poverty. Folks, people living in some of our ghettos are living better than part of the people around the world. They have no place to lay down their head, no food. And they literally live from hand to mouth. And they are more likely to try to share with you what they have than an American who has everything in the world. Sort of like the pastor who went down visiting one of his parishioners, and he had really done well. He had a big farm. I mean a large farm. And the pastor looked at the farm over and he asked the farmer. He said, can I ask you a personal question? He said, sure, pastor, ask me. He said, if the Lord gave you just a windfall, I mean just came out of nowhere, and the Lord gave you another 500 acres to match the 500 you've already got, would you give it to me, your struggling pastor? Would you give me that 500 acres? He said, most assuredly, pastor, I'd just pass it right on to you. I've got 500 acres here. It's all I can do to take care of it. Certainly, if the Lord just gave me a windfall of 500 more acres, I'd just give it to you. He said, well, you've got a beautiful set of farm equipment, big tractors and plows and discs and mowing machines and combine. Man, I've never seen a farm better equipped than this place. If the Lord, in giving you this windfall, gave you 500 more acres, and it was equipped with the same set of implementation that you have, would you give me all the equipment to go with the farm? He said, why, yeah, preacher, if the Lord did that, I'd just give you all the equipment to go with that 500 acres. He said, well, that brings me to my third question. If you had two hogs, would you give me one of them? He said, now wait a minute, preacher, you know I've got two hogs. It's easy to give away what you don't have.
Right.
Where the real test comes in is to give away what you've already got.
Amen.
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 That's where the power meets the road, right there. And so this brother comes to Jesus and says, I want you to speak with my brother. Our parents have died, and he's unwilling to share the inheritance with me. Jesus was fishing with his question. When he said, well, who made me? Man, who made me a judge over your family's farm? See, what he's wanting him to recognize is that God owns it all. That's what he's looking for. Is it all belongs to God. And then he finishes with this parable to explain to this man and those listening that all we have is the life that we possess right now. We're not even promised tomorrow. Tomorrow, I feel sorry for her. Sarah has got to try somehow to glean pallbearers for my funeral. And the rascal I've been, I've only got one grandson and one son-in-law and one son. I don't think the three of them can get me to the grave. It's going to befall her duty to try to gather up someone to carry us to the grave. For I don't have the promise of tomorrow. She may be looking for pallbearers. Fellas, help her a little bit if I leave. Some of you'd be glad they told me that last mile of the way. Might skip that dash. Between sunrise and sunset is an important time. And he says, there was this rich farmer that I had placed in his hands. That's the lesson. God had placed this farm, a rich farm, into his hands. And man, it was producing quite an abundance. Plentiful. And when the Bible says plentiful, that means it's doing well.
That's right.
But you see, there were several foolish. The Lord called him. The Lord called him a fool in verse 20. But God said unto him, thou fool. Do you realize that nine times in these short few verses, he used the personal pronouns nine times. I and my. I mean, there's nothing sadder in life than a selfish person.
That's right.
Life is all about me and no one else. I've got news for you. I'm going to bust some bubbles. Life ain't about you.
That's right.
That's true.
Life ain't about me.
That's right.
This is my Father's word.
Preaching.
Amen.
Right.
And he just put me here as a steward.
That's right.
To take care of his word.
Amen.
And I'm responsible. I'm responsible how I react during that day. From birth to death. Who I become. What I'm willing to give. This man was all about himself. He was a selfish individual. And by the way, this conversation didn't take place on the front steps of the courthouse. This all was going on. According to Scripture, he said to himself. You ever talk to yourself? they always told me that it was all right if you talk to yourself. They said when you're in trouble is when you start answering yourself. I had a fellow at Mason Dixon. And I'm pretty bad to aggravate and go on with a lot of foolishness. Amen. I am. I thought sure you'd say amen to this. I go on. I gave this fellow a large berth. I didn't kid him about anything. Because when I went there and went to work, I worked in a stall just past him. I didn't know what his name was. And he was a tire changer. Changed tires on a tractor trailer. And I worked right up on the transmission line, taking transmissions out in and out of tractor trailer. And this guy, the first shift I worked there, Tim, he hollered for Bert half the night. Hey, Bert! And after a while, he'd throw a tire tool down and he'd say, "What do you want? Can't you see I'm busy?" I'm looking under the floor. And I asked one of my co-workers, I said, "Bert." He said, "That's who Aunt Lil. Bert's right there in the stall next to you." "He's Bert." "That's Bert." I said, "Man, he hollers for himself." And when he finally answers, when he does answer, he's mad because Bert's been bothering him. I gave him a large berth. I didn't mess with Bert. He was a trouble. Now, I talked to myself once in a while, but I never answered. Once in a while, I say, "Garrett, you know?" But I don't say, "Know what?" If I get to doing that, I have a sneaking suspicion I've arrived. My dad would have thought I'd already arrived. He stayed with me the last year of his life, and he thought I was his brother Hugh, who had been dead for 12 years. One day my sitter didn't show up at the church. I had a sitter who would stay with him from 8 in the morning to 4:30 in the evening so I could do the church work. And I took him to the office. The sitter didn't come. And I took him to the church office, and he sat there, and he calls out, "Hugh, Hugh, Hugh." And finally I answered him. I said, "Calvin, what do you want?" He said, "That boy's killed me." Now I knew who he was talking about. I was the only boy he had. And I said to him, "What boy, Calvin?" I wanted to see if he still remembered having. He said, "Gary, the only boy I've got. He's killing me." I said, "Well, what's he doing?" He said, "Hugh, they're going to daub him up with a sponge somewhere. He, when he crawls on a motorcycle, he don't have one bit of sense." And I said to him, "Well, Calvin, by then, I didn't even own a motorcycle. I said, well, Calvin, maybe he'll outgrow it. This is the way he did it." He hung his head, shook it back and forth, and looked up at me, eyeball to eyeball, and said, "No."
He's never been right.
So my daddy was expecting me to answer myself. This man was talking to himself. And thereby, I draw a conclusion. He was getting some foolish instructions. There's a way, Proverbs 16:25 says, there's a way that seemeth to be right, but it leadeth unto destruction. Where did it lead this man? There's no evidence that he ever got his barns built. It was just a plan within himself. I'm going to tear down my present barns. I'm going to build bigger barns. And I'm going to bestow all my goods in them. And listen to his philosophy. He had a philosophy. Eat,
drink,
and be merry. Get that. Amen. He sought foolish instruction. Folks, if that little dash between birth and death, between sunrise and sunset in our life, if it don't include coming under the counsel of the dear, sweet Holy Spirit of God, we're foolish.
That's right.
I don't care what else we accomplish, we're foolish.
Amen.
I don't care what we glean in life. Well, then he decided he would make some foolish investments. Life is a test. You realize that? Life's a test. And he said, I'm going to invest everything that God has put in my hands for I am mine. I am mine. Be careful where you invest. Our Sunday school lessons, if you've missed that, our Sunday school lessons for weeks now have been on investing. What we do with what God puts in our hands. Well, he was foolishly independent. For he planned just for himself. I'm not going to need nothing. You know, that's a pretty large statement. But I'm afraid that much of America today is living on the philosophy that I don't need anyone or anything.
That's right.
Amen.
Let me tell you something. I need you. And believe it or not, for a short period of time, you need me.
Amen.
We need one another.
Amen.
Amen. There's never going to be a time. I have known some very wealthy folk who left this world as paupers several years ago. I'm not a prophet nor a prophet's son, but I've had a way of trying to orchestrate my life with good principles. And several years ago, I called the Baptist Annuity Board. Now, I know you're going to find this hard to believe. I can document it. This will roll your financial socks down around your ankles. For about 8 years, I made 16.5% on my money. That's making money. When you can make, I mean, I thought I owned a credit card company. You didn't guess it, did you? Most people paying the credit card companies 22%, 23%, and 4% interest. I made 16% interest on my money because I started late in life in a full-time position where I was being paid retirement from the church. And so I put it in the most risque investment plan they had. But because it was there, they paid the most interest on it, 16.5%. And I waited quarterly for that statement to come. I'm knocking down the jack. It wasn't a couple hundred dollars, but that's big money for me. Somehow or another, the Holy Spirit of God, I talk to him a lot and he answers a lot. There's nothing wrong with that. That's good.
Amen.
And somehow the Holy Spirit of God said, Gary, get over the grievance now. There's a slack time coming. I called the annuity board in Dallas, Texas, and I said, I want to slip everything I've got over into that fixed category. And the lady on the phone said to me, Preacher, it's only paying 1.75%. You're going to lose this big interest. Put it over there. I talked to some of my pastor friends. They were on the 16.5% plan. You remember about 9 years ago when we tumbled into that big pit? I went to pastor's conference. I had mine over in the fixed about a month and a half. Didn't lose a penny. I went to pastor's conference on Monday morning and I'm standing to talk. Some of them came in and their chin was dragging the floor. Lost anywhere from $40,000 to $80,000 out of their retirement. Gone. Many of them were like myself. If they'd have paid 25%, you couldn't live long enough to gain that back. Greed will do you in.
Yeah.
Greed will do you in. This fellow was foolishly independent. You better seek counsel from the Holy Spirit of God.
Amen.
About everything you do. About everything you do. Not just one thing, but everything. Seek His face. How's your dash looking this morning? I hope it's still sparkling. But if you find that You're planning on one day doing something great for God that it hasn't begun yet. And we just shed some light on the fact that sunset may be closer than we think.
Right.
Amen.
So if you're here, and you don't know Jesus, let me tell you something. I don't care if you sock away $20 million in the bank, and you die tomorrow. You're not taking a dime of it with you.
Right.
Your little family's going to fight and scratch. If you've got $20 million, I hope I'm gone before you die. Well, I'm going to watch your family fight $5. I had a man in the church where I pastored once was well worth over $2 million. And I prayed every day, Lord, let him be out of here and gone by the time he died. And the Lord granted that prayer. I was gone. They called me back to the funeral service. But his family literally stood stood on the courthouse steps, not many miles from here, and fist fought before the court hearing. They literally went into the courtroom with black eyes and blouse lips from a fist fight on the front porch over money. You're not taking it with you.
No. Right.
And so if you, gleaned a large fortune and have not got Jesus, it's a bad swap.
That's right.
What would you give in exchange for your own soul? If you're here and you've already been saved, and you just know that the Holy Spirit of God is leading you further on into service, further into things that's going to bless you and others, then what are you waiting on? You said, well, I'm going to do it one Sunday soon. Well, I can tell you this. You've been good to me up to now, but I'm not sure I'll be back soon.
Yeah.
I hope to be here. Lord willing, I'll be here. But you may be visiting this funeral home this week, because I don't have the promise.
That's right.
Neither do you.
Amen.
So if you're here and the Lord's urging you, whatever it would be, we're going to meet you here in just a moment and ask you to come and just whatever it is God has on your mind.
Amen.
Salvation, rededication, believer's baptism, church membership. What is it that God has spoke to you about that he wants you to include in that day?
Amen.
Between birth and death.
Yep.
Answer that. Master, in the quietness of this people, have thine own way. Move upon our hearts. Help us to understand that if God calls me this day, as he did this gentleman, only what I've done with Christ will matter. That day may be glorious, it may just be a simple thing. Help me to live for you and you alone. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Would you stand? We're going to sing. Would you come? Who wants to be first?
We hope you enjoyed this week's message, and if you will, you may share this video with a friend or family member. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, it's the best decision you'll ever make. It's as simple. A, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. B, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And C, confess him as your Savior. And you can pray a prayer like this: Dear God, I'm a sinner. I've done wrong. I need you, and you died for me on the cross and promised to save me. If I'd only trust you, I do trust you, Jesus. Come into my heart, forgive my sins, save my soul, so I can go to heaven when I die. If you prayed that prayer, you can notify us. We have some materials we'd like to share with you and get you started right in your Christian faith. To learn more about our church, just again, visit us on the website, WindsCreekBaptist.org, and don't forget to check back with us next Sunday for the message of the hour. God bless.